What's going on, you guys? My name is Nelson, and welcome back to the Q-Box for another episode. Today, guys, I have another guest. Well, I say another guest, but he's a guest that's been on the show with me before. Brian D. Covington. Welcome, man. How are you today, man?
What's up, everybody? I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. I know it's been a little while since we've been on the air. A lot's been going on. A lot of different changes have been taking place, so... You know, it's cool to kind of kick, you know, things back off with my man, Brian D. Covington. So, how's everything going, man? You know, I see that you have a lot of things going on, brother. What's the deal?
Man, I've got like a lot of different avenues I'm working on in order to get, you know, writing as far as the book, but creation in general out there, because I've come to find on TikTok, in fact, I think I wasn't on TikTok when we first did our podcast, but I jumped in there and found that there's a ton of creators struggling just to get seen, and I figured I could use my platform to start boosting other creators, because, I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
So anytime I find somebody whose work I'm, like, wowed by, I'll go buy their work. Do a quick listen, see how I feel about it, and if I dig it, I'll take a whole episode, you know, it's like a minute, 3 minutes, however TikTok goes, and let the world know about them. And the cool thing is, they turn around and reciprocate, which I think is tight.
Really cool.
That's organic growth.
Absolutely.
But this is how we grow as creators, man. We have to back each other, and we are that force. So let's work to get each other out there and cut the BS, because that's what's going to hold us back, you know? So this has been working out great. And I plan on getting on YouTube, because there's certain avenues. Yeah, man. There's other avenues to creation that I think could draw people into the story. So if I could get there, boost musicians, boost vocalists, boost narrators.
Mm-hmm.
That would not only give them a platform and a way to display their skills, but it also pushes the story of the book, right? So I kind of give it out like, you know, here's a sample. Check it out. If you dig it, cool. If you don't, but still check out this guy, because he has other projects, and if you dig his voice, you're gonna dig his work. You know,
man. Yeah, that's amazing, man. Speaking of all that, man, we'll get further into detail as we go along in today's episode. But speaking of that, as you just kind of brought something to my attention, you know, there's so many ways to monetize the art form in 2021. A lot of new changes have been happening for creators like yourself, as an author, as an artist, as a, you know, you do a lot of things. You wear multiple hats. And for me as well, who also wears multiple hats and just as, you know, just really appreciates the process of creation, you know. You know, you heard of this thing about like NFTs now, you know, all these little things you can do and just kind of boosting your income, or people can invest in you as a stock, like you're a stock, you know, considered a stock or something like this. Have you heard about this?
I have, man. And I am curious, you know. I've come to find that when you delve into that, either you get it right off or you don't. And if you don't, it might be worth pushing forward and talking to other people who might get it, who can explain it to you in means that you can understand. But me personally, as much as I would love to jump into that right now, I feel like I've got so many irons in the fire that, and knowing myself, if I spread myself too thin, nothing starts getting done. And that's problematic. My mentor, Jason Primrose, he jumped into NFTs, and the cool thing about it is he already had a vast amount of amazing artwork created for his book. So it was easy to transition from here to there, right? And he knew the right people to speak to, or he found the right people to speak to. And once the dust settles on my end, I'll probably start talking to him about that.
Well, but how does it work? Do you know how it works roughly? Or I'm not really sure.
Basically, NFT means non-fungible tokens, I think it's called.
Okay.
And basically, you take an image and make it somewhat of a blockchain, and there's X amount of that image, right? So you can take that image and make it more rare by adding things like animated elements to it, different frames around it, that kind of cool stuff. And all that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only way you purchase those, depending on platform, I guess, is like with Ethereum, which is, you know, cryptocurrency.
Oh, really? With crypto?
Yeah. But it's the questions I guess I have about it is, as the artist, if I were to create a piece, mm-hmm. make it an NFT, put it out there, and like, hey, yeah, I want 2 Ethereum or 0.5 Ethereum or some crumb of Ethereum for it, and somebody buys it, yay. But does that mean that I can't make prints? Or does that right. mean that I can't, you know, like send the digital image, like if I just send it as a PDF to somebody, I can't do that now? I mean, I need
what
to
do you,
know.
What do you mean? Like in other words, do you have to give like a percentage of that to the person that's owner, a part owner of your work? Is that what you're referring to?
See, yeah, that's the question. And does the fact that I could still send a PDF or PFT, a PDF to, or JPEG to somebody else,
sure.
does that mean that this now no longer carries that value?
Mm,
I mean,
okay.
there's a lot that I don't get, because I'm like, if I could just hit copy and send, why does this person have to pay this much for an NFT?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I think I did a little bit of homework on it, but I think there's, I mean, I know a guy that did it, man, and for his music, and bro, he made like over $1 million, man. Like he just flipped this, he just did his thing, and I actually made his platform much more, gave it more value, gave it more, or more reach to different people. Cause if somebody knows that they can make money in your art without doing anything, there's going to be a lot of buy-ins, especially if the art is really of high quality. And so I think there might be some pros and cons, but I definitely see where you're coming from in terms of concerns and what possibly could go wrong there. If, of course, if you don't do your homework or really know what it is you're getting yourself into. So yeah, definitely, man. And just going into that whole world, you know, you mentioned cryptocurrency and Ethereum and stuff. Have you invested and got into this world at all? Because you sounded like, yeah.
So, dude, I found out about Bitcoin when it was $5 a pop, right?
Shit, man.
And at the time, I was fresh out of college. We were trying to figure out what we were going to do, how we were going to get into this animation thing, how we were going to make it work, make the dream work. And so imagine like a handful of like college students struggling to just make ends meet. And some guy's like, hey, man, have you heard about Bitcoin? Like, what's that? Oh, it's virtual money. I'm like, dude, I can't eat with that. You know,
right.
I mean, we have much more immediate issues. But dude bought like, I think it was like $50 worth. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm just going to sit on them. And then eventually these things were $60,000 a piece.
Yeah, I heard.
Old Luther decided he went, he sold off a bunch, bought his house, bought a car, all this stuff. And I'm like, I should have bought Bitcoin. And I could have skipped a meal. But see, that's the privilege of hindsight. Right?
Yes.
So I'm like, okay. Later, a friend of mine hit me up. He's like, yo, have you done this Bitcoin thing? I'm like, dude, I ain't got no money for that. I'm trying to sell a house. He's
right.
like, oh, okay. But at that time, they were 11,000. And I'm like, you think I got 11,000 just in my couch or something, man? This is not how it goes.
Yeah,
but
I got shit to do today, brother.
But if I had bought one for 11,000,
yeah.
I would have been $50,000 richer. You know, so it's like,
I'm like this every day. Ah!
So it burns, man. But then, of course, and I don't know if you've been watching it lately, but then there's this huge drop.
And I dropped over to like 30,000 now. It's like 60.
It went down to, I think it went down to, was it high 20s? It probably just went down to 30.
Shit, let me see. Keep talking.
Low.
Uh-huh.
And now it's back up to like 40 something. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine somebody who bought like a $60,000 Bitcoin and they're like, all right, I'm good. And then it starts doing that.
that's some BS, dude.
Now, the thing is, when
it was sorry to cut you off. It says currently Bitcoin is at 39.7 right now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's going to bounce back up eventually. But the thing is, all the stuff is risk-based, you know? And you know you're going to be fine when the banks start jumping in. And that's what happened. The banks were like, oh, we're going to get this Bitcoin. Oh, we're going to get Ethereum. So it's safe to buy in, but now it's more expensive, you know? So it's like, all right. Honestly, it's legalized gambling.
Oh, I mean, I mean, honestly, in this case, not diving too much into this world, but I mean, it's gotten to a point where even the government, US government, jumped on, and they created their own coin, crypto coin, and that, from what I last heard, that the whole point of crypto is to have a decentralized platform where you're not being taxed for this, and so I think that equates to freedom in a sense, and we've had this conversation off the air regarding the whole tax situation and how it works and how it does have it has its benefits, but really, what is that really going to? But we're not here to talk about politics or anything crazy like that. It's just, it just, for me, it just makes the mind wander,
Well, yeah, I mean, that was such a thing back in the day. A lot of people say it was great. Some people say it wasn't. And in most cases, it's the people who have a lot that say it wasn't. But it was the gold standard. It was like gold was worth a lot here, it's worth a lot anywhere else. And everybody kind of coveted gold. So gold had a baseline that was as much wherever you went. Bitcoin is very similar to that. And bringing about the gold standard in digital form is problematic when you have things like fluctuating dollar values, you know? And that's where the whole control issue comes in. And I feel like the closer we get to the reality of Star Trek's no money, no currency situation, the harder governments around the world are going to fight for it, because that would mean leveling a playing field where the powerful 1% are going to have to forfeit all that power. You know?
They're gonna have to be
So,
okay with this thing called equalism.
and they don't want that, because if everyone's equal, who can you be better than?
I mean, that's the ego, right? That's how that's working. And I'm not gonna lie, I got into crypto recently, and I say within this past year. And I also put you on to something too, the Pi Network, that's up and coming. It's not even on the live net yet, man. And everybody that does not know Pi Coin Network, I need to jump on it, man. It's really has a lot of potential. And we're even hearing rumors and things that, like Apple might even be behind it, but they haven't publicly made it known yet. But it could be something really, really big. So I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to make the same Bitcoin mistake and kind of be asked out in that situation. So, just jump on it, man. It's something that you can, you have nothing to lose at this point. And you don't even have to buy into it yet. You could just mine on your phone. And all you geeks out there like me and Brian, I think we're you have your inner geek sometimes too, right? We
Dude, I try not to let my geek flag fly too high. I'm not a stealth geek, but I am definitely geek.
Oh yeah, no, for me too, man. It's definitely there. Especially when I get into topics that are really technical I lose people sometimes. They're like, okay.
Know what, though? I do have to say, if Apple is behind it, I think it would be genius. Because, I mean, come on, Apple Pie.
Exactly. And think about it like this, right? Crypto is going to be a different thing, man. That might really take over a lot of things. And hopefully it won't get to a point to where it's being taxed. But we don't know. It's
They're
like a
going to
50-50.
try.
They're going to try. You're going to try, but you can't control something you can't you don't have access to. You can't trace. And the way it's being done is kind of is like legitimate. You're like creating your own world of currency and trading off of that alone. That's pretty badass, Another thing too, I just jumped on. I recently bought it's not a lie. I just wanted to kind of just get my feet in there. I bought over I think last month I did this. No, 2 months ago, excuse me. I bought like 300 Dogecoin. So now I'm just sitting there and I'm not even looking at it. I'm just gonna let it chill.
You
Before it was
know,
Go ahead.
They have a term. God, I can't remember what it's called. It's like it's an acronym for hold on for dear life. So you just kind of buy it and you just sit there and hold it.
Yeah, you just sit there, exactly. Yeah, you know, man, because at this point you have nothing to lose. But like, yeah, man. Just to kind of conclude that point, like it's something you never know, man. If you can get in, if it's possible, do it. You never know what you're gonna get out of it. And yeah, man. So that's just my thoughts. But yeah.
I would always say though, don't ever put in more than you can afford to lose.
Absolutely.
That's where you see people like, oh, I put my life savings in because I know this is gonna be great. And then, you know,
Bitcoin drops
like, you know, $30,000. So I'm like, just yeah, put in a little bit at a time, build up if that's what you got to do, but
yeah,
make sure you're grounded in reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what's going to affect you most urgently, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. No, I'm with you, man. That's why, yeah, I'm the same way. I don't like taking risks. I like taking calculated moves, you know, but of course, you know, you really can't control certain outcomes. Certain things just happen.
Yeah.
And you're just like, damn, okay, I got to figure that out, but you know, but it is what it is, man. But anyway, I want to get back to you, bro. It's been a minute since we've been on the first one, man. And, you know, for those watching for the first time, please tell us about, you know, Between Magic and Dreams. This is your first book, and just kind of give people a brief synopsis, what it's about and what's going on with it, man. I heard you got some great sales so far and you're doing well. And, you know,
yeah,
and most importantly, you're doing it independently. So That's in a nutshell, that's a lot, you know, to take on by yourself. And I think that's something, you know, people need that are our upcoming authors or creators, you know, should be advised about and just kind of educated on and how to do it properly, you know, the right way.
Yeah. So I guess, let me do my little intro here. I love doing this. Yeah.
Anyway. Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am Brian D. Covington, author of Between Magic and Dreams.
There it is. Wow. Nice, man. That's awesome.
So, thank you very much. So, Between Magic and Dreams is a story about a college guy who's fighting to preserve our reality during the rebirth of forgotten times through a phenomenon no less than New Light. His name is Quinn Pfeiffer, and this takes place in Atlanta. And oddly enough, and I should say sadly enough for our protagonist, it doesn't stay in Atlanta. but two shows an expansion of the things that you were going to witness in the first book. And like any good story, character building, it gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
So this whole process of writing this book has been a really amazing journey. There's a lot of things about doing the book independently that you wouldn't really consider from the get-go. In fact, now, given that we have the internet, given that we have platforms like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook,
yeah,
so on and so forth, you don't need a publisher. Now,
true,
it makes things easier, but you pay for that ease, you know, and you get restricted by that ease. You get put on horrific deadlines for that ease, because ultimately, even though you're doing work through a publisher, you now work for that publisher.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, we need this book out by this time. We don't care what you got going on. You need to get this book out. Contract, you know. Whereas if you're doing it on your own time, right, you could explore other things. What you write is up to you, you know? No one's there to tell you, hey, you can't put this in your book. Or hey, you need to change this ending because it's too this or too, no, it's all you. You control the narrative. That being the case, the stories that aren't being told, the way that you feel they should be told, you can do that. Now, downside, you have to also handle all the overhead. So if it comes to saving up to do something, save up to do it. If it takes crowdfunding, do that, you know. But ultimately, if there's other people who will believe in your vision, and regardless of what that vision is, there's going to be people out there who believe in it because what, there's 6 billion people on the planet. You can get a handful to help, you know, invest in your project. In the end, the fact that you have control over what's being done is the real highlight of independent publishing. Also, the fact that you get the bulk of the money when it comes back your way. So, you know, I mean, eventually it comes down to the cost of production. And as long as you're not dumping a ridiculous amount of money into marketing, which isn't, again, necessary because you have these platforms, but it's going to take time. You have to reach out to these people, find out where your niche audience is, focus on them, you know, and the word gets around, you know, and show appreciation for the people that back you, you know, because one of the main reasons that they will follow you is not only because they like your work, but because they like you.
Right.
So be that person, you know, reach out to them and be like, you know what? Call them by name. Hey, so-and-so, thanks for getting the book. I really appreciate it. You know, there's going to be more to come, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely something worth doing. Is it easy? No. But neither is going to work every day to a job you hate.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard something the other day. You know what, man? You know, it's hard. It's hard being, you know, poor, and it's also hard being successful. So you just gotta go and get it. You know, and yeah, regardless, you end up losing doing it the poor way, like, you know, struggling and not having any success. So you might also take a different route and struggle like you would struggle being poor. And struggle and being successful, and then reaping the benefits of that success in your own way you see fit. And so, you know, I like speaking with you, Brian, because you're one of those people that are very honest, very transparent, and you know, you really take things in life as they come, and you can see that how that reflects in your work, you know, because you really take your time to. Articulate your feelings, your thoughts, and you know how to turn those thoughts into things. And I think that's really commendable from what I'm seeing from my bird's eye view. And so,
appreciate it.
Just keep rocking that, man. I think that's such a great thing to do. And I mean, we've even gotten to a point now where we mentioned it in the last one that you have book number two coming soon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what's the situation with that? Tell me about that right now.
It's so funny how it goes, because as excited as I am about just getting it out there, I was setting it up to be like maybe 70,000-80,000 words, which is just a couple about maybe 20,000 more than the original book. But as the story goes, you'll find that the characters kind of write the story for you. So it went from 70,000 to 80,000, 80,000 to 90,000, 90,000 to 100,000. I'm like, huh.
Crazy.
All right, so this is going to be a chunky one. It's a decent sized book, and I want it to have the same pacing as the first one. So it's done. I'm in the process of doing rewrites before I send it to the editors, who can, you know, make sure that I'm not rambling through the whole book. But man, I've got the artwork done. Nice. I've been in collaborations with some people about doing this. So I got this plan. I want to do an in-between mini series, like a 3-issue comic series for a bridge between the second and third book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to emphasize the journeys that each of us are on, right? That that pertain to the actual main story.
Okay.
So the characters in the comic are side characters in the book, but their role in the main story is important. But you don't know what somebody goes through in their life before they come into yours. So they bring all that baggage or all that strength into your story for however long they're there.
This reminds me of one of my favorite freaking movies of all time. Remember that movie, Never Ending Story?
Yes.
That I don't know why, it just brings me into that world, man. Like, I love that. Those two parallel, like, realities, you know, where one reality affects the other somehow. They become sort of parallel, but they have an influence on each other. If one something goes left on this world, something goes left on the other world, and you know, and so forth. But I don't know. I just, sorry to interrupt, but it made me think of that.
No, you're good. In fact, speaking of which, my favorite character out of that whole movie is one that was only on the screen for maybe a couple of minutes. And do you remember the Gamak?
Yeah. I remember that.
That thing gave me nightmares, and it was only on the screen for a couple of minutes. And to hear him be like, "Yeah, I'm here to help the nothing. I want this thing." I'm like,
"Yeah,
this guy's crazy and he's scary."
Yeah, yeah. Was that the bird human being? Was that the one you're talking
about? Okay, the I think I lost. At the very end, like wolf that everything was already going to pieces, and he's like huddled down in this little cave. You know,
I remember now. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll pop it up on the screen here, guys, so you can see it real quick.
Oh, no, you're going
to. Yeah, well, not now. I'll show it to them. Yeah, at some point. Yeah,
the thing is, the thing that made him so scared of me, it wasn't the point that he was, like, you know, capable of eating our hero. It's the fact that there was chaos happening. Everything was going. And he's like, yeah, I want this. This is great, you know?
Yeah.
And there's people like that. There's people who would throw gas on a burning building because they're like, yeah, you know, this is good. This works for me.
Yeah.
And it's that, I guess, unbridled attachment to chaos that I find unnerving. And the fact that he could eat you. So
yeah, that never feels good.
I do imagine, though, that it has to be a great feeling, you know, to completely be free of that fear of nothing.
Yeah. You know?
And that's exactly what he personified, like a complete and total lack of fear towards the terror that is the nothing.
Would you consider turning this first book into an anime, like film, like Disney kind of energy? Because it kind of throws me into that world, man. Like, I can really see myself like enjoying that very much, you know, especially a character of color. I think that'd be cool, you know, see a nice little brown skin be on a Disney screen, and it's a character of color. And I think, you know, for me, color, you know, I'm not one to say anything about, you know, race or color. Like, for me, color is, there is no color when I'm seeing an art, you know. I see the soul, which doesn't have a color. It's universal in its purest form. And that's what I'm looking at when I see something like this. But it's so cool at the same time to see people of color coming out in Disney films and just having these sort of like Black Panther, for example. That was pretty, that was badass. That was one of the super cool film. I still watch it to this day once in a while, but like it's you know, the main character, I still can't believe he passed, man. You know, of cancer.
Chadwick Boseman.
I can't believe it.
That was a solid blow, man. In fact, there was another movie that came out after he passed. Actually, there was two. They came out after he passed, and I can't bring myself to watch them right now. That still kind of burns.
Yeah.
But great, it's great you brought up Black Panther, because the thing about having independent work and going to a company like Disney or Netflix or whatever is that they will want to control the narrative. So you will have to stick to your guns and be willing to say, nah, I'm gonna pass. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're gonna wanna make changes. And you're either gonna take that because you see dollar signs, or you're gonna stick to your guns and be like, look, people love this story. So if you're gonna be true to the source material, we could do this. But if you're gonna shit on it, we gonna have to keep it moving. I don't care how many dollar signs you throw, because look, my fans are loyal, man. They're loyal, they love the work, and I cater to my fans, period. If Disney was to come at me with a big chunk of money, look, I'm not starving. All right, we're not broke. you know, and am I making millions from this book? No. But if I was offered millions only to just completely crap on everything that my fans like about it,
Your foundation. Yeah.
no, because this is not just a story that's supposed to connect and touch people. It is that, but it's not only that. This is also a legacy, right?
Sure.
My children are going to benefit from this for the next 98 years. You know,
Yes.
as long as we have sole ownership of this, it's us. You know, this is a Covington production, and I love that. And I'm going to protect it, not only for my family, but for my fans.
That's powerful.
So it's look, and I've had to walk away from big chunks of money before, sticking to my guns. And of course, after the fact, I'm like, why did I do that? But later, it's like, you know, there's a certain power that comes to having pride in your work to the point to where you're not willing to sell out for the moment, you know, giving up what you could have right now, or forfeiting greatness in the future for a little bit of something now. A lot of people forfeit their dreams because of what they can get now.
That's powerful. Yeah, I see it all the time. You know, and this is why, like, even now, if I jump into my world for a minute musically, that's why I'm really you know, I'm getting at this point, I'm getting so many offers, you know. But I know what it's like to take that roller coaster ride and take that risk and take that chance and see it go left. And me have to sit on a shelf for 10 years. And that's time I'll never get back. But at the same time, this is not to say that I'll never do it again. It's not to say that I will not take that risk again, but it definitely has to be on my terms. Going back to, you know, back to what you're saying, it definitely has to be on my terms, and it has to be a Nelson production, you know, and that's something that people need to know. Like, don't become desperate because you know, there's an opportunity. That seems nice. That seems like a dream of a lifetime. You know, don't become desperate. Really, at this point, this is all those years of disciplining yourself to be focused and to not, you know, and to stay focused on the bigger picture and what you're supposed to do in this world for people. At that point, that's when then all that practice, that preparation needs to kick in that moment when you're being presented an opportunity like that, and really have to make a sound decision. Hey, is this something I should do? Or not.
Yeah, don't sell your diamonds for cookies, folks.
Nope, not worth it. Not worth it. Again, not you know, taking a crap on the idea of success and not going for it. No, if the here's the deal. If the terms and conditions are not what you want them to be, then it's not something you should be doing. Especially, you know, it's not a deal for you when it's told to you in the beginning, nothing's negotiable. Everything's fucking negotiable. Forgive my French, guys. You know,
I
everything's
know it's German.
negotiable. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Forgive my German, huh? you know what I mean? And so, don't listen. It is what it is. That's when you know it's not for you. And when you know that person that or that business, that firm that you're gonna do business with. You know, you'll see right in that moment whether or not they have your best interest at heart. And this is something you always have to keep in your mind. But you have to stay strong in that moment. You got to fucking suck it in and really focus on seeing through that and saying, okay, this looks fucking amazing right here. Oh my God, I'm gonna win right now. You know, sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes that opportunity comes later, but you really have to, at that point, use really dig deep in that intuition and really know your stuff at this point. You had to have done your homework before you step into a room at that level of the playing field, because any pro level negotiator is going to see that weakness. And so that's the beauty about working independently and going through those rounds, because you have so much practice by yourself, who's legit, who's not, you know. And you really have a strong grasp on legitimacy, you know what I mean? And what's bullshit. And so yeah, man, I from my experience doing music, I've seen it all the time. And That's why I'm always trying to push people. That's why I love independent artists. I love independent writers. Anything that has the word independent attached to it. I know what they're going through. They're in the trenches, you know. They grind and they're recording records. They're writing songs for other people. They're producing songs for other people and themselves at the same time. They're writing books, coming up with all the money in the forefront, you know, to invest in their product. Because they know nothing, you know, comes for free. And they're investing in themselves. And you see the grind, man. You see the grind. And you know when you talk with them how real they are. And that's why I like talking with you, because it's it's like a breath of fresh air. I can share a story that's relatable, even if it's in a different realm. It's still a similar process, and I think that's where the magic happens. That's the beauty of creation. It's universal in its own way, no matter what you're doing. And that's why I can sit here and talk with you, Brian, and have such a great conversation. You know, we didn't even plan this part of the podcast, but. This is why we can go off in a tangent that's relatable to our topic, because it kind of is what it is, you know? Speaking of that, I got a record that I'm working on with you I'm actually going to have delivered to you this Thursday or Friday. I told you the day I'm going to have it to you. You want to tell them a little bit about it, please? Go for it, man.
All right. So one of the things that I plan on doing on YouTube is using various other mediums to tell parts of the story or give some insight on it. And one of the things that actually has a strong role in the story between Magic and Dreams is music. And there's a lot of wisdom in it, and they can tell stories within 3 minutes that normally it would take 2 hours, 3 hours to tell.
Yeah.
And it's such a powerful thing. So I was like, you know what? I know people that do music, you know? And that goes in part with what I was saying earlier about, if I know cool people who do great work, why not boost them and boost the book at the same time?
Yes.
You've done something for me earlier, and we love that piece, you know?
Yes.
Nelson here created an anniversary song for me and my wife a couple years ago, and that's like one of the most treasured things that we have now. And to turn around and have him create something for Between Magic and Dreams, I figure was a no-brainer. One, two, he loves what he's doing, you know? Yes. And that way I know I'm not going to get garbage. That's always a good feeling.
For sure.
And and I want to play a role, regardless of how small it might be, in helping get your sound out there, you know?
Appreciate it, man.
And so the plan is to have some amazing art created for the background, post the song, and in the beginning, this is Brian D. Covington, author of Between Magic and Dreams. This song, so-and-so, is created by Nelson. You can find him here. Here's the song. And then afterwards, you get the same thing. Once again, this is Nelson. You can find him here, you know, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Because this is good. But boosting other people while doing this feels better, you know? Yes. So I want to have as many different music genres as I can. So far, I've got about three. They're slowly trickling in. I want to give people time to either read or hear the story so they can build off of what they feel from the book, you know?
Mm, okay.
And that's what's going to be put out there for other people to consume, so they can have an idea of what to look forward to.
What is the title of the song going to be, you think?
Dude, I have no idea.
you leaving that up to me, or?
You know what? What I could do, though, what I could do is listen to it and then pull my title from what I hear.
So then this is what we'll do. I'll create the song. I won't title it. You will.
Maybe Horizon's Edge.
Oh, man, planting the seed, boy. That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
There's a method to the madness.
I'm like, huh, that's a tight title from the get-go. But yeah, lots of plans as far as I'm concerned. I have, the artist who created my font for the title, I've got her working on some images for the background of a reading that I'm going to have done by a gentleman I found on Instagram.
Okay.
Who does amazing voice work. But he's not out there anywhere. I'm like, dude, how about this?
Right. There's a lot of us out there, man.
I mean, and this, it blows my mind how many skilled people, right? Not just some fly-by-nights, not just somebody who's like, hey, I'm going to give this a shot. People with skill who aren't getting seen. And I thought that was just an artist thing. I thought it was just, you know, an artist thing. Because there's so many amazing artists who are starving. Whereas there's somebody who can throw a water balloon, I mean, a paint balloon at a canvas, call it unsalted crackers or something.
Yeah.
And make thousands of dollars because they know people.
That's what it's all about, man.
So it's rough. And if I can get it out there, if I can get him out there, get these musicians out there, get these artists out there, I don't need anything, you know? I mean, I figured cross-pollination as far as marketing works for me.
So yeah, and of course, when I eat, you eat. So
yeah, exactly. I'm like, we could all eat.
Yeah, that's it, man. When I break bread, man, it's something that I take serious, and I look at the people immediately who were there for me from the beginning. That's mm-hmm. the first people I look for. You know, you and I have been talking off the air, and you know, there's a lot of people that I thought were ride or dies that have really shown something different, and it's really, you never, the point that I'm making here without bringing up names is not important in terms of names, although you guys are curious, but I'm not talking about that. You're a little curious, George. Get out of here. What are you taking?
Way to plant the seed, buddy.
No, listen, it is what it is, man. There'll be people in your life that you will never expect to do some things that just happen in this life. In other words, there could be somebody that's riding with you for 25, 30 plus years. Yeah. And you never would expect this person, this chick, this dude, this, you know, they're there for me forever. Regardless, they're going to be there for me. You know what I mean? And when that time comes to step up to the plate, there'll be times where there's, you know, you're lining up to get on that boat to cross over. Do what it is you're supposed to do for this world. And they're not there.
Yeah.
And you got to be ready for that. Especially when things get real. Especially when things... listen, at the end of the day, I'm a sucker for love. I'm a sucker for happy endings. I love that shit, man. That's something that, you know, I love, man. You know, there'll never not be a moment where I wish for a happy ending, you know? Because that's just my makeup. That's what I'm made up of, you know, and I always want a positive light at the end of the tunnel. The thing is, it is, but we may not see it in the beginning as that. So this is how I'm looking at it from a beautiful point of view, you know?
No, I agree, man. I mean, I've always had this philosophy, especially when it came to relationships in general.
Yeah.
And that is, I would rather be the one that's like, wrong about a situation, you know.
Yeah.
I would rather be the one wearing the egg on his face, and the reason being, in doing so, I know I did everything that I was supposed to do to make it go right.
Right.
So later, and this happens actually without fail, later down the line, it just kind of comes around like, oh man, and you know what, I messed up, I'm sorry, or man, it would have been cool if we could have did this or done that. I'm like, yeah, but you chose this other route. So,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, once this happens, right? Once somebody betrays your trust or takes you for granted or whatever, you make sure you keep going on your path, because you can't let that ruin whatever future you may have had you kept going.
Correct.
So, having worn my heart on my sleeve like forever, it's been a target. I've been stabbed in it a lot. It sucks, right? But when you find that one person that sees that you're wearing your heart on your sleeve, and instead of stabbing you in it, they throw themselves in front of the slings and arrows
and protect you,
that's the shit.
Yeah, that's you the that's the shit. 100%, brother.
So I found that, and then I'm seeing that same fervor to protect in my daughter and in my son. I'm like, see, I'm making other world changes. That rocks, you know? That
absolutely
rocks. So this is me being the change I want to see in the world. And yeah, hopefully it pans out. If it catches on, if it spreads, then good.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. This is what it is, unfortunately. But, you know, in the midst of it, it's shitty. It sucks. It's like, damn it, man. Why? Yeah. Oh, man. Why now, man? Things were just moving and, you know, life happens. This song was about to come out or, you know, whatever, you know, you're working on is moving. And, but there's always something that's throwing at something that you really care about to really test the strength and of it. And there's going to be times along this journey that you're going to get knocked off the horse. It happens. It happens, yeah, man. Along the journey, it's just going to happen. Regardless, there's nothing we can do but keep our shield on, but keep our armor on. And when it hits, boom, we get hit, it hurts. Whatever, cool, fuck. Okay, I got to get through this. You know, it's not going to feel good.
Yeah.
They're life lessons, yeah, right?
True, very true. And another thing is to heed warnings and keep your ear out for information. There's going to be people who are going to want to, you know, give that's you true advice, and that's cool. But the thing about it is you want to take what resonates with you and leave the rest, because just because they went through a similar situation doesn't mean that they're going through what you're going through.
True.
You know, there's certain elements to every story that's going to be different, even if they had gone through something similar. So I'm not saying that you need to throw out everybody else's advice, you know. It's not that, you know, just because they're older is not going to make any difference. But because they're older, they were brought up in a different time with different challenges. So, you know, bullying back in the 80s and 90s is nothing like now, because they don't even have to be there. They could just tweet it or, you know, whatever. And then you go to school and people are throwing stuff at you because, you know, you've been hated on and they've seen it. So it's just really weird stuff that we have to adapt to. But the information that you get from the elders is usable to a degree. So don't just toss it out, you know, out of pocket.
Yeah, 100%, brother. You know, I guess with that being said, man, it's something that this is you know, when we were talking about doing this podcast, I really suggest like, let's just keep a open mind. Let's just kind of talk how we feel.
Yeah. Let it flow.
That's it. And I'm happy because, you know, when you control too much, you don't let what's supposed to happen.
Yeah. You stifle it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that this conversation happened. It's happening the way it's happening because there's already gems I was supposed to hear, and it's just kind of ding ding going off in the head, you know. And I hope the same from my side when I'm saying something as well. You know, but that's the beauty of a conversation, the beauty of exchange, you know, and of energies. And so man, listen, where can people find you? Okay. Before we even get into that point, when is your, do you have an official release date for the book number 2? Can you give us that?
Nope.
Okay.
The only reason I asked it the last time. Because I think I probably even gave you an estimated drop date then. I can't remember.
I don't think so. I'll go back to it.
Cool. But what I realize is that anytime you say like, oh, it's going to drop this time, and anything happens between then and that time, it gets pushed back. And then you got fans looking for it at that date, and they're like, oh, it's not out yet. Like, oh, man, what are you doing? So I'd much rather just say, hey, I'm here. I'll be at this part of the process next. Once it's done, then I'll be bringing out more stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually have a lot of promotional material that I've created set. And I'm you know, I don't want to start teasing it until I've gotten it out of my hands and into the editor's hands.
Fair.
Because editors have deadlines. I do not.
That's facts. Yeah, for sure. No, 100%. That's real stuff, man. Okay, cool. So I'll roll with that. I'll take that one. And regarding my song, I'm already saying it now. I'll have my end of the deal to you this Thursday or Friday. Finally, it's coming. I just really wanted to take my time with the piece, and like I do with everything, you know, and musically. Yeah. So I'm hoping that you will love it as much as I loved creating it. So I'm sure we're gonna
have... I will.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool, man. And so yeah, where can people find you, man?
Okay, so most of my time is spent on Instagram and TikTok. My post on Instagram, I switch between video and imagery because I love to create that kind of stuff. So it fits better there, although I'm going to experiment putting some on TikTok. But on TikTok, I also do mostly promotion of other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. So typically comic artists or novelists that I've come across that I find are amazing, I want to put out there so that, you know, okay, other people can find them too. So, nice. It's been a pretty cool journey, and I actually am on Facebook as well, but my account got hacked, so that kind of sucks. I just continue to post through Instagram, though. I can forward my stories there, so that's what I do for now.
Nice, man.
Soon I will be on YouTube.
Okay.
Stay tuned for that. Yeah.
And you have an official website as well, yeah?
Yes, betweenmagicanddreams.com. And that baby is going to be getting revamped really soon. That's in the progress too. Okay. Lots of irons in the fire.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy, man. So yeah, as you can see, guys, Brian D. Covington has a lot going on. He's about to jump on YouTube soon and just kind of just take his stuff to the next level. And you know, you see the grind. Any independent creator sees what it is. And, you know, in order to be successful, like 100% successful, you got to put in that groundwork. And the foundation needs to be strong. And I think that is the beauty of the independent realm, especially in the beginning, starting off you know, because then you really get to understand the groundwork, what it truly takes to build a product. And then when you are at a point of success independently where you can scale, then you're going to have all these conglomerates, all these bigger people coming at you. Hey, we see what you've done. We love the work that you're doing. And at this point in phase of your career, you have a lot more say so than what you would have if you would just give it to them in the beginning. So I think the angle that you're taking now is really wise. It's a longer route, but when you get there, brother, trust me, you're out of here. So just keep rocking and rolling, dude. Yeah, man, for sure.
I really appreciate it. I want to mention that you can get the book in digital, audiobook, hardcover, and paperback on Amazon. And for now, I did have the book on blacksandsentertainment.com.
Okay.
But we sold out. So I had to do a reorder.
Congrats.
Yeah, I had to do a reorder. And that's actually awesome, man. I mean, that made me feel really good. That felt like a step in the right direction.
Rinse and repeat, brother. Keep it going. And that for again, independent work. Oh, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. I really keep you in my prayers, man. And you know, I know there's a reason why we met for a reason and many reasons, you know, of course. But it's just interesting sometimes how the introduction happens, you know, it happens in the weirdest ways sometimes. And, when you get past the weird moment, you're like, damn, that's crazy. I'm happy I met you, man. So, thank you so much for being on the show, man. I want you to be on here as much as you want. You're always welcome to jump back on.
Cool.
Yeah, we've already been talking about it already. About potential future talks, man. Let's just do what we do. And before we go, I do want to mention I still like this whole quote of the day thing. I think it's a really nice breath of fresh air, and I think it just really aligns with what we've been talking about this whole time. Quote of the day today says, if a person has never made a mistake, they've never tried anything new. And this was, I'll say it again. If a person has never made a mistake, they've never tried anything new. So this was by Albert Einstein. That's powerful. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that, man?
I agree, man. Because in order to try something, you're never going to get it right the first time, every 100%. time.
100%.
So it's worth it to try new things just so you can make those mistakes and get stronger for it. So,
I'm a victim of it, and I'm sure you are.
oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
This journey alone, this book thing alone is like, yeah, it's rocked with mistakes, but I figured all that
Crazy.
stuff out.
Crazy. Guys, if this was your first time tuning in, do me a favor and take the time right now to subscribe to my channel. This is the Q Box Podcast, or AKA the Nelson Experience. And we just want to, I'm gonna have a bunch of people on here, guys, from all walks of life, like my man Brian D. Covington. We're just gonna keep pushing it out. I'm definitely gonna have him here on here again, because we just have some great conversations that really needs to have a recorder button always present. And so I think we should really just keep it going, and we can learn a lot from each other, and that's what's great about this experience. But anyway, guys, press that notification bell, press that subscribe button. That way you can be notified every single time I got a new podcast, a new anything that's on the fresh off the press. And oh, by the way, before I forget, do me a favor and subscribe to my main channel. It's called Nelson. So NELSONN. I have two N's at the end. And this channel, guys, I'm d diving deep into my life, my world, where I'm living in the world, being in Germany, as an American, just and what my life experiences have been with that. So guys, definitely tune into that as well. That way you can kind of dive into my background. And that channel, I'm doing music creations, I'm doing covers, I'm doing creations from scratch, and mukbangs. Sometimes I'll just jump on and show you a lifestyle food that's in this world that I'm living in, and I'll just eat it in front of you. So definitely check it out. And even though it's so funny, because I don't like eating in front of people, but I want to do it for some reason. I think people really like to see other people eat, as weird as it sounds. It just really gets your curious George's going, Yeah, man, definitely check it out. It's definitely a channel full of life, and it's starting to grow a lot. And then definitely want to be a part of that growth, and I look forward to seeing you guys there. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll
Oh,
see you on the next
if
one.
you,
Yeah,
one
go,
more
Brian.
thing,
Yeah, go ahead, tell me.
I want the world to know, right? And yourself
Okay.
included. Regardless of how cool I am, I'm only reflecting your shine.
Oh, thank you, brother. I really appreciate that, man. So
Hey.
thank you, my man. And I'll
A
see you guys
pleasure.
on the next one. Peace out.
Peace.